When you think about AARP, you no doubt think about aging. In reality, AARP Iowa is all about family. From lifting up family caregiving concerns to the Iowa legislature, to providing reliable information on fraud, to supporting art and culture, AARP is all about creating a better state for all of us. Learn more and get connected with the real possibilities of AARP Iowa. Google AARP Iowa and let's get started with you and your family. AARP Iowa. We're really about possibilities.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Terrell International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit tarot.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Michelle from the Tarot team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot, T-E-R-O.com, and the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. iowabusinessjournals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour with Todd Ashby from the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the MPO. And we're doing Out to Lunch at the original Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll here in Des Moines. Todd, welcome back.
Good. Thanks. Great lunch.
Good lunch,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Fantastic.
I took Deanna's suggestion and went with a French dip.
It looked very good.
And the only time I think I've ever been asked, how would you like that prepared?
Yeah, I've never seen that. So that was pretty interesting. Yeah,
it is. Well, we're talking about MPO and transportation and getting from point A to point B and all of the things that the Des Moines MPO is involved in. When we talk about the Metropolitan Planning Organization, how large of an area do you serve?
We serve pretty much all of Polk County, a good chunk of Dallas County, touch into Madison and Warren County, a good third of Warren. And then by contract, we do some planning for the 8 counties of the Central Iowa region as well.
So you guys are pretty busy.
Yeah, we've got a lot on our plate, but it keeps us going.
When requests come by for some of these communities, what are they most interested in? Are they interested in bridge repair and funding for those things, or are they starting to take a look at, as we have in the greater Des Moines metro in this area, lots of these different ways to get around?
Well, it kind of depends on the community and where they're at in their stage of growth. But some of the smaller communities, especially in the rural areas that we help with contract work, it's more road and bridge projects. But more in the metro, it's a bit of everything. Road, bridges, trails, how we can help with transit connections, freight movements, those type of things.
You know, when we were in Washington, D.C., there was some conversation about the trillion-dollar infrastructure bill that was supposed to be coming. And from what we learned in Cliff's notes is that that's probably not going to happen because that's a significant amount of money.
Yeah. No.
Given the recent Tax and Jobs Act that was passed in December, there may not be funding for that. But that brings up another question. When we talk about infrastructure, what's getting most of the attention now? Is it new or is it trying to repair what we already have?
I think there's been an increased emphasis on maintenance activities, trying to repair what we have, but also do some optimization and get more out of the system that we currently have through technology, whether that's signal coordination activities or making sure we have the right piece of infrastructure in the right place.
Signal coordination. I think that's a fascinating thing. And all of us are going through going to these stoplights that are all over. Is it all of green lights? Is that planned? Or is that luck of the draw? How does that work?
A little bit of both. There is some luck to it, but there is technologies that they're called adaptive signals. That's relatively new in West Des Moines and Clive. And Urbandale have been pushing this forward the most in the region. But these signals, they're computer controlled, and they look at the traffic coming each way on the intersection and decide, based on an algorithm, which group needs to go through first. And so when they see a large group of vehicles coming, they'll give them the greens and try to coordinate that so they don't stop. It's a fuel efficiency thing, too.
That is so smart. And I heard a bit about these adaptive signals when we were in Washington.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, gosh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, you'll see more of it across the region. It requires some fiber optics to be installed in the ground. Des Moines is looking at some of that along with other things. They're going to be upgrading their signals in the city in the next few years. They've got a plan underway to look at what's going to be best for their system. But you'll see all cities making a move to that or some similar type technology.
I think it's fascinating. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about vehicular traffic. There's a mass transit. There are dreams of taking a look at somewhere down the line doing some high-speed rail. And soon we're about to be a metro of a million people. Mm. How do we move that many folks around economically?
Well, it requires a lot of different things. The rail would be a great advantage to the metro region. It's kind of a long-term goal, as you allude to.
Yes.
Chicago to the border is under development right now. And then the next step would be to get to Iowa City. There's some planning funds for that. And then going on across the state to Des Moines and Omaha was the final leg for our state. But that's a long way off, unfortunately.
You know, as those of us who like to peer into the future just a bit, that would be such an advantage. I mean, can you imagine getting on a high-speed train in Des Moines, being in Chicago in just a couple of hours, having the opportunity to work in transit?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Well, it's an economic advantage. It's a business advantage. I just read an article. China's high-speed rail system, which will have about 20,000 miles of it developed, will connect every city of 500,000 in China within the next 5 years. So we're falling behind globally in the competitiveness in high-speed rail.
That's incredible.
As a nation.
Yeah. It's stunning to hear that. Sometimes we take a look at other countries and for example, we were talking earlier in the first segment about electric-assisted bicycles, mm-hmm. which has been a mainstay in Europe for quite mm-hmm. some time. And that's how people get around.
Yeah, and lots of bikes.
Yeah, lots of bikes. I want to switch gears from vehicular traffic, if we can for a moment, to talk about a new initiative that we climbed on board a long time ago when it was first announced, because we see it as something that is going to be beneficial to the economy of not just central Iowa, but Iowa, and that's utilization of our waterways. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we've started a water trails plan back about 3 years ago. The Department of Natural Resources approached the MPO to do a plan. We looked at 150 miles of waterways throughout the region, how we can best use those. The Des Moines region started out as a water town, and we've sort of lost sight of that. You can't access many of the rivers or very safely get to them. So this plan looked at how we could best do that. We identified about 140 locations where we could have a fishing spot or a boat or canoe access launch or just get down to the river for wading into it and playing in the water a little bit. We've now narrowed that down to about 84 locations through an engineering feasibility study. The big centerpieces are the Des Moines parts along Center Street, Scott Street, and Fleur. But there's things all throughout the region that some communities are moving forward with. So it's going to be, I think, a great economic driver, a recreational improvement for residents, and a very unique project for central Iowa and residents of Iowa.
And there have been some cities, Charles City, for example, that have already instituted some white water rafting mm. and other things, and they say that it's resulted in quite a large economic boost for their community.
Yeah, they've seen a great boost in economic development in their main street areas. Elkader, Manchester, Charles City have each done a low-head dam conversion where they've safed the dam. It can be a hazardous situation. So they've safed that, and then they've created white water, which is one of the things we're looking at through downtown Des Moines.
I think that's a fascinating program. And you're right, we have kind of come away from that. It was a river town. That's where we all started. How does, and I know you don't have anything to do with this, but it's one of the things that was top of mind when we were talking about waterways as an economic driver and opportunity and recreation. How important is it that our water is safe to be in?
Yeah, well, it's very important, and, you know, we do have some issues with our waterways. there's high nitrate levels a lot of the time, which from being in the water isn't a problem. It's when you drink it, you don't want to drink the nitrates. So as far as recreating the water, there isn't a safety issue there. Now, with bacterial loads, when those happen, especially during high rain events, we need to monitor that and make people aware that, you know, a couple days after a big rain, you want to be cautious in and around the river. But we're looking at some monitoring tools that can help with those things and let people know what those levels are, and then hopefully work as we get more people interested in the waterways, that'll lead to more improvement in cleaning up our waterways.
When we take a look at what this might look like, Todd, downtown Des Moines, for example, along the rivers, what does that mean to the current dams that we have in place now?
Sure.
What does that look like?
Well, the Center Street Dam there, where the kind of right across from Wells Fargo Arena, is actually a 16-foot dam. So it's a big structure.
16 feet.
Yeah, it's a big structure. But essentially what we would do is do some like mini stair steps on the back side of that, the downstream side, to safe it, as we call it, so that people, if they went over the dam, you're not going to get caught in that churn of water that holds you there and can cause you to drown. So at the minimum, that's what we would do.
So it's not taking the dam out?
Not really. We might take a section or lower it a little bit,
right.
But just the economics of pulling all that concrete out is prohibitively costly. So it's building some additional structures in combination with that to make it so the water doesn't keep you in that churn of water. If you go over the structure, and then also providing the opportunity to develop some whitewater conditions, so we'd have another recreational amenity. Specifically at Center Street, we'd have four different drops for whitewater activities.
And does that include putting boulders into the water or structures that kind of divert?
Yeah, there'd be boulders, some other instruments that make the waves change shape. Actually, they're called wave shapers. They're big metal plates in the river that move up and down, that change the shape from a kayaking condition to a surfing condition. You could have surfing on the Des Moines River.
Really?
We saw that out in Boise and Columbus when we did some field work. There'd also be a channel that would be relatively calm so fish can go upstream. That's one of the requirements of DNR. So it'd improve the fishing habitat for people that want to fish along all our rivers. That's another benefit to this. It improves all the aquatic habitat and provides another opportunity.
You know, Captain Mike Lavelle was with us in Washington, D.C., his first trip, as a matter of fact.
I believe so.
To the partnership event. And he is very interested in this. Obviously, he wants to be a riverboat captain when he grows up.
He has his license.
He does. But there's also that opportunity, I would suspect, for things like that, yes?
Yeah, the riverboats of some sort to, ferry back and forth across the river to different destinations along the river, liveries for kayak or surfboard rentals, other amenities along the river, vendors just to sell food. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities that go along with doing these projects that boost the economic development potential all along our rivers, and especially in certain spots.
And just like in cycling, these all have a health benefit attached to them as well, because the more you're active, the more you're out there, the more you're doing.
Yeah, it gets you active, whether you're just walking up and down, enjoying what other people are doing on the river, or you're in the river doing the activity, whether it's surfing or just floating down on a tube. You're being active and getting outdoors and enjoying nature. So it's a benefit on a lot of levels.
And especially during our elongated summers.
Yeah, when it's nice and toasty warm, it'd be nice to be in the cool water.
Right. When it comes to actually formulating these things, how many steps? We've talked about a lot of different things. How does it go from idea to something that people either vote on or that they can move forward with the project? How long does that take?
Well, we think there's probably a 2-year design process to get everything designed that you need, and that includes permitting that we have to go through the Corps of Engineers, since they own the water, at least the bed of the water. And then it's probably a 2-year construction project once you identify all the funding that you need for it. So it's a good, especially the downtown pieces, it's probably a 4 to 5 year process. Some of the regional pieces will happen much quicker, and Johnston is looking at doing some things relatively quickly on Beaver Creek.
That's amazing, that whole Merlehay Road area.
Yeah.
That's real visionary stuff.
Yeah, they've really jumped on board with this and see it as a big economic development piece for their city. So they're moving forward.
I think these are all really interesting things to talk about and really expand our mind beyond the normal way in which we take for granted how we get from point A to point B.
Yes.
It's got to be exciting for you.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good run the last few years on different projects and things that are sort of outside the box, but are definitely related to how people and goods move about the region, and it's exciting to see where we're going, and we're excited to be part of it.
Final question, and this is one of these things that came up while we were in Washington, D.C. that I had heard nothing about. And that's this intermodal train...
Transload.
Thank you. You know, I have transload. What is that?
A transload facility is, in its basic sense, is a facility that lets you move goods from train to a truck, very simply, or vice versa.
We don't have that?
No, we currently don't. There's some small facilities that are very site-specific to a manufacturer around Iowa, but nothing in Des Moines. The closest ones are in Omaha or Chicago or Kansas City. So if a company in Des Moines wants to put their freight on a cargo container to the coast, they got it by rail. They have to go to either Kansas City, Omaha, or Chicago.
Wow.
By developing a facility here in Des Moines, we can probably cut shipping costs 30 to 50% for a lot for a lot of companies. And so it's a huge economic boon for companies currently in the Des Moines region, but we also think it will attract a lot of new companies to come to Des Moines because of that access to three Class 1 railroads, which are like the UP or Burlington Northern, and one Class 2, which is the Iowa Interstate. We're one of the few locations in the country that have that kind of connectivity to those big railroads and that many in one spot. So we're very excited about this project.
That's huge. Okay, so I have to ask, who is sitting around spitballing this and going, hey, you know, we've already got the tracks here. We've already got the trucks. We have how many depots are around central Iowa? Makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, the MPO's Freight Roundtable, which is made up of freight industry leaders, started spitballing an idea. We did a study to make sure it was feasible, that the economics worked. And then the land where this connection happens became available when the City of Des Moines purchased it as part of the Southeast Connector development from a salvage yard that used to be on the site. And once that land became available, you know, the dominoes started falling, and we could see where we could get this in. And through a lot of work by a lot of different people, we're very close to getting that facility constructed.
That's
in the very near term.
And then who would run that? How does that operate?
A private operator would run it. He's in the process of purchasing the land from the city. Then he would start development, get some basic operations going, and then continue to develop the site over the next few years. Handing a lot of bulk commodities at first, lumber, steel, that type of thing, and then probably switching into grain and liquids and other refrigerated products potentially as well. So it'll cover the whole gamut of shipping options at one point.
You know, when we talk about these kinds of things, from rivers to bike paths to streets to traffic cameras and to traffic signals, to this project that melds highway transportation and rail transportation, it doesn't look like it's going to be that long before a place like Des Moines in the metro sees a million people.
No, we're growing fairly rapidly. We've been very lucky in a sense, though it's through a lot of good work by a lot of people, that our economy's growing and has been stable even when we had the Depression, recession at time. We still were a lot better off than in a lot of areas in the country, and so we rebounded quicker.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of Todd Ashby. We've been out to lunch at the original Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll here in Des Moines. Todd, thanks for taking some time, eating a good lunch, and then having this conversation with us.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to a conversation with Todd Ashby from the Metropolitan Planning Organization, or MPO, about a host of transportation issues, planes, trains, and automobiles, with a little bicycle walking and more added in, like rivers. That's a wrap for today. For all of us that put the business news together each and every day, for the voice of the news hour is Hunter Pease. Our sales and marketing associate is Aaron Libby. Our engineer, Tyler Hackenmiller, and James Goodlett wrote, produced, and arranged our theme music. My name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for being here. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.